Blog Talk Radio.
I'm talking about Motown Maurice right down here in the state of Florida.
And we've got Motown Maurice of the Motown Maurice Show.
I'm going to introduce you to Motown Maurice.
We have special, special, special guest Motown Maurice.
Motown Maurice.
Speaking of crazy, we have Motown Maurice, a man who is trying to put Tampa on the map for late night television.
He is not the next Arsenio Hall. He is the first Motown Maurice.
For those of you who haven't had a chance to experience Motown Maurice,
you have to understand he is very persistent.
And now he has transitioned
from Tampa to Los Angeles, California.
He's now in Los Angeles.
Continuing his pursuit of the quest of a late night talk show host.
Keep an eye on Motown.
Absolutely.
Keep an eye on that gentleman. One day, this man is going to be the new face of late night.
Motown, we love you.
Motown, Maurice, are you on the line?
And now, your host, Motown Maurice.
All right, everybody, listen up. Listen up. I have a very, very important public service announcement that I need to send out to all the aspiring actors here in Hollywood or wherever you may be. What you need to know and understand is that if you want to be successful, it takes hard work. It takes drive, perseverance, devotion, determination, thick skin, ambition, and the willpower to succeed. In another word, it's not going to be easy. And even when it looks easy, it's not. It's just that some people make it look so easy and pretty at the same time. And that is exactly what my guest has been doing, making it look so easy. He has credited in Yahoo, The Young and the Restless, Drexler, and Monopoly. Please put your hands together for Adrian Bustamante! Adrian, what's going on?
Nothing much, man. How you doing, Motown?
I'm doing good. I wish I was wearing the shoes you're wearing, but hey, you know, I'm working my way up the ladder. Oh, man. Well, thank you. I'm glad to have you on the show. Thank you very much for being a guest. And as I said in my intro, you're making it look so easy. I'm like, man, how is he doing it? Because it's not so long ago that you recently decided that you want to get into acting. You know, this hasn't been, when I interview my guests on this show, and this is I'm not trying to knock any of my guests, but when I interview the majority of my guests on this show, they're like, well, you know, I caught the acting bug when I was 6 years old, and I've been acting ever since. But you on the... You, on the other hand, you was a real estate agent, and real estate went south. You're like, you know what, I'm going to give this a try. And the moment you said that, you've been through nothing but success. I don't know how you do it, but please explain it to my audience and myself, how you started and everything.
Yeah, no, I didn't really catch the acting bug when I was six, but it was a little bit over 3 years ago now, I guess. I was doing real estate, like you said. I kind of dabbled in some little things here and there, nothing big, and the real estate market went south. Around that same time that it was going south, I worked on a film called What Just Happened. It was with Robert De Niro, Catherine Keener, Bruce Willis was in it, things like that. It was supposed to be a big film, ended up by flopping, but worked 15 hours in the Kodak Theater as an extra. It was just what most people would think would be a horrible day. I just loved it to death. It was just watching these people, you know, work and do their job. What was their job, which was just amazing, was just unbelievable to me. So, kind of left it at that. I kind of said, oh, I hope I'll get seen in this film. That'd be amazing. Still tried to, you know, slosh through the mud and muck of the real estate industry at the time. And one day, my brother calls me in, late 2008 and says, hey, I just saw you in this movie. I thought you said you did. And I was like, oh, maybe. So I rented it, checked it out. Myself in the film, there was like a huge reaction to what was going on in the screen, on the movie screen. Saw myself for like 5 seconds, thought it was the most amazing thing in the world, and just said, you know what, I'm gonna try and make a go at this and see what happens, and go from there. Luckily, I had some help from a good friend of mine named Chris Hoff at the time, and you know, was able to learn some of the business sides of it, and kind of like I said, lucked out, but it was also a lot of hard work too.
Now, why was Chris Hoff so significant in terms of helping you?
You know, Chris Hoff was great. As much as he tries to say that he had no help in it, he's a huge help. He used to own his own talent agency down in Los Angeles. And at the time, he was trying to, I think, get back into the industry. He wanted to find out if he still had the fire to do it. Mm-hmm. So he decided, you know, I'll just help you with some things. You know, we'll run through some lines, see if you can actually act. You know, I'll give you some of the business notes on, like, what to do with your headshots and how to act in auditions and all this different stuff. Basically, a lot more business than there was acting. And I, you know, I credit him everything for me getting started because he kept it fun, but he also really kept it real in regards to telling me, look, this isn't going to be easy. You just have to be professional. You have to treat this like you did your any other business you worked at. And if you understand that it's a business, but also have fun and still work at your craft, he's like, everything will go well for you. Just have the patience and just keep going through. So I credit him. I credit him everything. He's definitely the person who started me in what I'm doing now.
If your life isn't an adventure, I don't know what is. I mean, I want to say that Chris got kidnapped and now you're out to avenge his life right now.
Chris.
You know, because it's you know, I'm seeing the parallels between your life and Questers or big fantasy movies, because they're all related in, you know, in so many ways, or even, you know, in real stories. But there's always one or two people, or maybe even more people, that gives you a gift. And in this case, he didn't have any love for the industry. He's moved on from that point, right?
Yeah, he decided after we were done that it wasn't going to be for him still. I think he just, you know, figured it wasn't working for him, but hopefully it would work for me, and he's moved on, and he's got a beautiful wife now and living up in Northern California, and I keep in touch with him occasionally to see how things are going. He's doing well. It just wasn't for him.
And he was in place for you. He probably could have stopped months ago, but he was in place just enough time for you to get what you needed so you could move forward. So that's really amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, before I want to get into your credits, you've got so many different projects that we can talk about. I want to get into that real shortly. But I definitely want to know is, how has being a real estate agent helped you in terms of your success right now in Hollywood?
You know, I get asked that a lot, which is really funny, but it the business side of it helps me. I say it, I'll probably say it a million more times on this interview, and I'll keep saying it throughout my career. This industry is a business, and everybody that goes into it thinking it's just about fame and fortune and being on camera is really... That's the reason I think a lot of people kind of fall out so fast in this business and get jaded. It's working real estate helped me. Owning my own business, working as my own business, has just really helped me in regards to networking and knowing that I need to get myself out there and just meet more people and tell them what I do. Not necessarily to just gain a job, you know, and just get in their face and ask them, hey, I want to work on your film or I want to work on your TV show, but just to let them know what I do to hopefully create a conversation that'll lead to something in the future. And just going out further, you know, like I said, it's definitely a grind and it's definitely a business, but if you keep at it and have the perseverance, I think you'll be fine.
Yes, and you know what? I've only been in Hollywood for about a year and 3 months, and it was never my goal, or better yet, vision to be in Hollywood. If anything, I wanted to make Tampa, Florida the next Hollywood. But I see the parallels even between you and myself, because I owned my own business for 7+ years in Florida, and I was able to do and discover so many different things about myself. So when I got pushed to the edge, and now that I was forced to come to Hollywood to continue growing, it's like so much is second nature for me because I was doing it already.
Yeah, and, exactly.
Yeah. I was already doing it, and I definitely am with you with the point of understanding that this is a business, and a lot of people don't get that. This is a business, and if you understand business, you understand marketing, you will definitely be successful. And I want you to also expound upon the fact that you said that, not that you should neglect your craft, but there's so much time to gain experience on craft because there's so many acting schools everywhere. Why don't you continue on from that statement you said?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I meet so many actors that, you know, they're in acting classes and they do all their different improv classes, which is great. Do it and love it and work on your craft, but they do it so much and so often that they don't have the ability to go out and audition or the ability to go out and do a shoot to gain the experience on camera. Mm-hmm. with me, I was always the type of person, whether it was business or sports or whatever, that I wanted to learn on the fly. I wanted to just gain experience doing it. And if I fell on my face, you know, well, we fall seven times to get up eight. You know, I mean, that's just how I've always looked at my life. So yeah. I just started jumping into it right away and figured, you know what, I'm just going to act as if like I've been doing this for years and just say, hey, yeah, I know how to do this. So I went in, gained experience on camera, and that was the best experience I could ever have. But definitely, you know, always, like you said, and I said before, work on your craft, do what you need to do. I do a lot more one-on-one stuff. I do a lot more personal reading stuff than I do necessarily classes. I don't think they're necessarily horrible, but I think some people are on different levels, and I think understand who you are as an actor and what you're good at and what you're not. And if you're not in a class, you can definitely work on it in other ways, too. So.
Exactly. Without a doubt, we are on the same level business-wise. Without a doubt, very like-minded. I can see that in the way you talk and your whole approach towards the industry. Unfortunately, our financial bank accounts are not on the same level, but I'm working on getting there with you. I'm working on it.
Yeah, I don't know. You'll be fine, man. I think, like you said, just keep the same mindset. I agree. I think we're definitely on the same wavelength. We both come from the same areas, so it's good.
Definitely. So I want to talk about one of these projects that has helped elevate you to that level. I Almost Got Away With It. Talk about that. Break it down, please.
Man, I Almost Got Away With It was a great show. We shot it for a week. I went up to San Francisco where they shoot it. It's played on the Investigation Discovery Channel, which is a sister company of Discovery Channel. It'll also play on Discovery Channel, but aired a couple weeks ago. Got some great reviews from a lot of good people at the company, Discovery, at Indigo Films, you know, just definitely critics in general. I play a character named William Van Poyck. He was like a lifelong criminal, really fun. We had to play him from the age of 17 all the way to 35, so I had to continually change my look throughout the week and throughout the days. There'd even be days where one scene I'd be 17, the next scene they'd have to run me to the makeup chair and do all this different stuff so I'd be 35 the next scene. So it was really fun, really great opportunity to play a real-life character. There wasn't a lot of interviews with the guy at the time, so I kind of just had to play him as well as I thought he would act, but I was able to read up on him a little bit too. He just did a lot of stuff. He was from 17, he was doing home robberies, you know, car break-ins, things like that, and it worked up to, you know, drug dealing and then just bigger robberies for banks throughout his life. I think he escaped from jail like 9 times throughout his whole life. We showed like 3 or 4 escapes on the show. Worked with a great director, Ted Leonard, you know, really allowed me to kind of do what I want with the character, but also reeled me in when I was going too far one way or another. You know, assistant director Brandon Height, who was amazing also, trying to just also push me to do more. It was a very physical role, so it was just a lot of fun, and I'm glad people liked it.
So what are that whole show in general? What are most of the roles are criminals when actors play roles on that show?
Yes, how it works is the reenactment show. But the good thing about the show is for an actor, they allow a lot more dialogue between the actors than most reenactment shows. So you actually get to act. You actually get to get on the show and play a character. All the shows deal with one main criminal, basically almost getting away with it. You know, starting from his first offense, and then showing whatever major offense has equaled the cops just chasing after him and trying to get him in jail for that final time. So it'll be good. It'll be good. The show airs again on December 29th at 7 p.m. on that channel. So everyone will get to watch it again and hopefully let me know what they think.
Wow, fantastic. So, real quick, I'm really interested in the show. So, what are the other criminals like? Are they like white-collar criminals? Are they what kind of criminals are they like?
Yeah, they're all over the board. Some are white-collar. Most of the criminals on the show itself have been, real bad people. I mean, I guess any criminal is necessarily somewhat of a bad person, but murderers are a huge part of it. People that kill somebody and just get on the lam and try and evade the police, drug dealers, things like that. So there's always different ranges. You know, my character wasn't a murderer, which was, you know, I guess somewhat disappointing and somewhat okay,
you know,
at the same time.
I know, when you do a show like that, you're supposed to play the criminal. You got a slap on the wrist for that one, man.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't get to murder anybody on screen or anything like that. So that would have been the fun part, but know, he robbed people, you know, he did the drug thing, but, you know, a lot of the other criminals you see on the show are definitely, like, they kill multiple people and are running around, you know, hurting everybody.
Yeah,
me, I'm just kind of like the smarter criminal, I guess. I don't know.
Trying to keep you innocent, man. You need to play the serial killer next time. Come on.
Exactly.
What's wrong with
please. Come on, something.
You know? Oh, man. That's tight. That's really nice. I like that. I'm going to look out for that. Reenactment shows are really fun. You want to be careful sometimes when people who watch these shows and they don't know how to disconnect television from reality, so they might see you down the street. Wait a second. Police! You know,
police.
You never know.
I saw him. He's down the street. He's buying a soda.
Exactly. So that's fun. But before we move on to the next project that you've worked on, I want to ask you a question. You know a lot about the industry. So when casting directors cast someone, are they casting someone that can really, I'm sure they're casting someone because they're talented, but are they also casting someone because they can kind of, their character or their personality resonates in the character they're trying to cast for?
I totally get it. It's really hit or miss out here, and I think that's where a lot of actors get a little jaded, is mm-hmm. because the more and more you audition, the more and more you realize sometimes it's just about a look. And other times it is about that. And other times it is about, you know, if that person can really be that character and bring that character to life. But I think, you know, sadly, I think a larger percentage of the time when you walk into an audition, you know, they're looking for a specific look. You know, what's your hair color? How tall is he? Does he look like the other character on the show or in the film? Is he, you know, does he seem like maybe he can act better than that person on that show? Because they don't want to. There's all these different intangibles that come into it, and a lot of the intangibles have nothing to do with how talented you are as an actor. So then there are other cases, obviously, where you're going to audition for something larger or something different, and they're going to be looking for that guy or that girl that can, you know, really bring, like I said, bring that character to life and is that character. So it's really a combination, but I'd say a larger percentage of it has to do with, you know, what specifically they're looking for as a look, you know?
Well, you know, based off of what you just said, I know exactly why you were cast for this next project we're about to talk about.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
I know exactly
why.
You just gave it away. Because you look like money. That's why they cast you for Mr. Monopoly. You look like money. I saw your pictures. I'm like, this brother looks like money. Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to Motown Maurice Hustle and Shovel. We're talking with Adrian Bustamante. Mr. Monopoly himself. Am I lying?
You're not lying, man. You're not lying, actually. I am Mr. Monopoly, officially.
That is
fantastic. But yeah, no.
How did that happen? Well, obviously, you look like money. But let the audience know.
Yeah, besides looking like money, man, this is an instance where it was more of a who you know type instance. The assistant director on I Almost Got Away With It and another show that I worked on earlier on in my career, Brandon Height, he was directing this ad campaign for Monopoly, for Hasbro and EA Games are trying to push their new Monopoly Hotels game that's going to be on, like, iPad and iPhones. Basically, there's this huge ad campaign. Brandon came to me and asked me, you know, would you want to play Mr. Monopoly? And I said, I don't look like Mr. Monopoly. You know, I may look like money to Motel Maurice, but I don't look like Mr. Monopoly. And he said, no. Here's the catch, is you're going to be a suit, we're going to build this really expensive Monopoly head that we're going to spit you for a tuxedo, and we're just going to create this campaign, where basically the campaign is, what if Monopoly happened in real life? So I agreed and said, great, sounds like an opportunity, I like working with Brandon. You know, I also got to work with an awesome marketing company, Singly Mackie, with Matt Singly and Allison Mackie. Basically what they did was they built this amazing suit that not everybody has gotten a lot to see. Not a lot of people have seen it, other than the first day of shooting out in Santa Monica Pier. But I basically go around and I let people walk past my big fake red Monopoly hotel, try and charge them in a really lighthearted way, $2,000 for passing my hotel, if anybody's familiar with Monopoly rules. You know, if they get into a good conversation with me, they might luck out and get a free Kindle or a free Wii game or a free Wii or whatever I'm giving away that day. So it's a really, really fun ad campaign. The companies have put a lot of money into it. I'm going up to San Francisco next month for a couple days where they've actually built a Monopoly shoe flash car that I get to drive around in San Francisco. It's just a lot of fun. I get to really make people's days by giving them away free stuff and having fun with a lot of people. So it's an awesome campaign, and I'm really, really just happy to be a part of it.
You are something else. Not only do you make this Hollywood thing look easy, you make the lives of others easier. You just give away stuff. I'm going to start calling you Easy Adrian. That's your name.
Oh, there you go.
So you also get the best of both worlds in that project because you also get to play yourself in the scene, right?
Yes, I get to play myself. They allowed me to play a hotel manager in the ad campaign as well, where I get to do the same thing as Mr. Monopoly was doing. I stand outside the hotel and in a really lighthearted way try to charge people money for passing my hotel. So you'll get to see me, you'll get to see Mr. Monopoly, both in the ad campaign. So it'll be a lot of fun. People should get a kick out of it.
Okay, well, hey, if you ever run upon an extra Kindle or something like that, you know, there's no one who I'll wear, you know what I'm saying?
Hotel Maurice will be the first person I call. I'll shoot you a line, man.
Thank you. That is so fantastic. There's so many other projects you've been a part of. You've done a lot of work in San Francisco. How is the work in San Francisco? Because I know, you know, L.A. is obviously the mecca of all things, but how is it? Is there a lot of work to be done there?
San Francisco, you know, there is a lot of work. There's definitely a glass ceiling to the work, I always say. There's a lot of corporate gigs. There's a lot of photo shoots. The occasional TV show or movie will come up there. A lot of commercial stuff, too. So you can definitely gain a lot of experience, which I did up there. But it's a really small community, and I love it so much because I met a lot of great actors, I met a lot of great casting people. And the good thing about San Francisco as an actor is if you do well or you just people like you, you'll continually work. So you'll consistently work, and you'll get in front of the camera, and you'll gain experience, and you'll feel more comfortable, which is what happened to me. It made my transition from San Francisco to Los Angeles so much easier as I was able to just, you know, feel more comfortable in front of the camera. But San Francisco is a great place to be and work, and I say learn, but if you really want to make that jump and make this a career and make this something that you want to do, I always tell everyone the same thing, man. You got to, like you said, Motown, you got to come to the Mecca. You got to come to Los Angeles and make a go at it and see how it works for you. So.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And when you came, you didn't just come, you know, completely free-spirited. You came with a plan like any successful businessman. You planned it out, and before you arrived here, you either booked an agent manager or you already was in contact with them, which is the way to go.
Yes, I totally agree. I tell everyone the same thing because you meet those people that are, I met a lot of young actors, you know, I say young, I was only in it for maybe a year and a half. Well, you meet these guys that just were a couple months in and they were already ready to go to Los Angeles. Had never even been to Los Angeles or had only been to like Disneyland and, you know, was ready to come down. And I was always told them the same thing. Make a plan, you know, get down there, visit different areas of the city, make sure you know where you want to live, where you'll feel comfortable, try and get an agent, try and get a manager, try and get in the union before you get down there. All these different things will definitely help you and keep you from hating Los Angeles like a lot of people do and leave within 6 months. But yeah, building that plan is definitely, I can attribute that to some of my success from being down here.
Fantastic. Keep on planning, and write me in them plans while you're at it. I want to talk about your next project, Dark Harvest. What is that about?
Dark Harvest is a horror/sci-fi film by emerging artists, directed by the amazing Senoi Hinojosa. I played Deputy Wiley, a little supporting character there in a couple of things. It's a really great film. It's a young, it's like a teenage horror sci-fi film, written really well, shot beautifully. The score is amazing. I've got a chance to hear some of the music by the person who's putting together some of the score. I really believe in this film, and I know a lot of actors probably believe in everything that they do, but I'm very honest about things that I do. If I do something and I think it's horrible, I will tell people, listen, I don't think you should see this, or I think this is horrible, and I'll be very honest, but this film just looks amazing, it will be amazing, and I have a feeling that a lot of people are going to see and hear about this film once it's in the can. So we go up in January to, again, Northern California, which seems like I'm shooting more stuff up there than down here at the moment, which is weird. But we go up there, shoot for a few days, and we'll get my scenes out of the way, and we'll see how the film turns out come the beginning of the year.
So is this a film that I can take my parents or someone can take their grandparents? I mean, who's the demographic of this film that's going to mostly be interested?
You know, I think the demographic is pretty much anybody. I think you can definitely, anybody can go watch the film. It's not like an overly gory horror film where you don't want to take your grandparents or your parents. And you can definitely bring younger children because it is more aimed, I think, towards that teenage Twilight type demographic. But at the same time, it's written well enough to where people can go see it and be very interested because it's a smart horror film. And it's just a lot of fun. So if you're into just being entertained and going to the movies and, you know, forgetting about all your problems for a good hour and a half or so, then this is definitely the movie for you.
You know, it seems like a lot of these, a lot of Hollywood producers, they're trying to aim for that teenage Twilight audience. It's like, that's the
yeah.
age. Like, oh, that's something discovered. And looking at your pictures, man, it's a shame that they're ending the series because you would have done well as a vampire or something.
Hey, man, if you know anybody, you can throw a line. Maybe they'll make another one, and I can be in the next $1 billion Twilight trilogy.
Hey,
I cried a little bit when I found out it was over.
Oh, man. Well, speaking well for the future, what is 2012 to you, and what do you expect from it?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to 2012. The way that 2011 ended, I really feel that this is the year for me, that more and more people will know who I am and know my name and slowly get out there to be that household name that I'm looking to be. So I'm really looking forward to 2012. There's just a lot of good things on the horizon. You know, the networks are really pushing for more television shows, which I do a lot more television than I do film, which I would still love to get into film. More and more, but I think there's just a lot of opportunities on the horizon. I just can't wait for 2012. I have a feeling it's going to be an unbelievable year for myself.
Fantastic, fantastic. We're about to go. We're running out of time, but I want you to take this moment and talk to a young aspiring actor or actress who is trying to figure their way in. And you make it seem so easy, but of course it's not. Talk to them and give them some advice on how possibly they can be as successful as you are.
You know, I tell a lot of people the same thing over and over again, and it always comes back to the business aspect. You know who you are as an actor or an actress. And you know what you're good and what you're not good at. So you can work on that. You can fix it. But if you don't understand the business side, it's going to be so much harder, and you're going to be so disillusioned, you know, the longer you're in this business. So just understand, you know, how to work your business, how to get out there and meet people and get your face out there and create that hype around who you are. You know, even if you're doing the littlest thing, make the littlest thing seem like the biggest thing, because people will just want to know more about you, you know, the more that you get your name out there. So my biggest thing is just learn the business, you know. Come to LA with a plan and learn the business from somebody out there. And your life will be just a little bit easier. It'll still be hard, but your life will be a little bit easier.
And if I can add on to that, not only learn the business, but start a business. It doesn't even have to be a Hollywood business. Just owning a business or being a part of a business from the ground up will help you tremendously. You
exactly. I totally agree. Yeah.
And you know, I ain't going to broadcast our age or anything like that, but we're not in our teenage years, and we're not even in our early 20s, you know.
Yes.
But within that period of time, we spent a lot of time within business. So when we actually decided to come into Hollywood, it's almost like second nature. So take it from Easy Adrian himself, you know. Learn the business.
Not sure how I feel about that name. It can be taken in multiple ways, but I'll see how it sticks.
We'll see how it sticks. But I'll tell you one thing, the success and the money is definitely going to stick. It's already stuck to you. So, hey, much love to you. I'm so happy for everything that you're doing. Keep it going and keep it flowing. That's what I can say. Thank you very much. Would you happen to have time for maybe one more question? Well, you know what? Before that question, everybody wants to know how to get in contact with you, how they can follow up with what you're doing. What's your website and ways to communicate?
You can go to my website at www.adrianbustamante.com. You can send me a little line there on my website. You can go to Facebook and just find me at Adrian Bustamante, like my fan page. Or you can even go to Twitter. I'm at rbustamante25. Follow me there, and I'll definitely hit you back. I try and keep in touch with as many people as I possibly can, and I don't, I'll always answer any questions that are out there for you.
Fantastic, fantastic. Very well said, very well said. And once again, now, let me get back to that question. You got time for one question?
Of course, yeah, of course. Shoot.
Okay, cool. There's a rumor that some individual, he says he's trying to save late night television. Would you happen to know who's the future of late night television?
And there's only one person I know is the future of late night television, and that's Motown Maurice.
That is the right answer. He is the future, and that is me. Thank you very much, Adrian. You have been great. I really appreciate everything that you've shared, and I'm so excited for your success. 2012, the easy
Adrian
Bustamante. So we'll be in touch, all right?
Hey, thank you, man. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Take care. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Adrian Bustamante doing it well in Hollywood, making things happen and making it seem so easy. Believe me, it's not easy. It's the hard work and dedication that he's put into his life way before he came out here to Los Angeles, California. So it's second nature to him. You know, I'm just trying to get to the level he's at. And indeed, I will very soon. So thank you very much for listening to Motown Maurice's Hustle and Shuffle. Check me out at my website, MotownMaurice.com, so you can follow me on my quest. Once again, that's MotownMaurice.com. Thank you, Adrian. Until next time. Peace.